You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Micah Daia is the head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. Micah, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start first of all with what it is that Zero Shadow does. From my understanding, you help crypto companies stay legitimate. Is that accurate?
In a way, yes. So we do a little bit of everything. So one of the things is, you know, we help those that are already in the crypto space stay safe. So, okay, hey, like, you know, doing audits, things like that, reviewing what are safe procedures, what's not safe. But primarily what we're known for is our incident response. And so that's when the bad stuff has happened, that they've been hacked, exploited. Maybe, you know, there was something of an insider theft, North Korea, unfortunately, these malicious interviews, something more on the malicious side where they need on the go now 24/7 monitoring, where we're pretty much tracing, investigating, working with law enforcement, and kind of in a way like a crypto superhero where our goal is to freeze.
So are you looking out for like crypto scams though? Is that what you guys are involved in? Because
that,
this is a big thing. And I know I found a couple articles too. A lot of seniors and a lot of young people are pulled into these crypto scams.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start, but that is one of our main things, is where we try to, you know, inform ourselves, hey, what is happening right now? Like, what are the big trends targeting people? And then it's not even just like targeting like the crypto exchanges, like the big crypto people who have millions and billions of dollars, but it's also like the individuals, because that's usually where it starts. And so, you know, like, I'm pretty sure you're well aware of, like, back then in the day, you'd receive a suspicious phone call. Somebody would walk you through, tell you to go to Home Depot, purchase like some sort of gift card, yes. So on. And so now with the crypto theft, like those pretty much like those like transcripts of what the scammers used to use have evolved, especially as the financial system has evolved, technology has evolved. And so it's been a fun, interesting time, unfortunately.
I do not want to come off disrespectful to our older folks, but like the directions of go to Home Depot, buy a gift card, and then the steps, I understand, again, I don't want to sound insulting, I understand how they get that process. But as far as crypto goes, how do seniors get pulled in when sometimes technology can be a problem where they don't even understand certain simple things that are everyday processes? How do they get involved in crypto then? How are you walking through that process?
Oh my goodness. One, I'm glad you mentioned that, Greg, because like when I'm, you know, chatting with victims, or I like to call them users, individuals afterwards, mm-hmm. You know, it's so difficult just to get them on a Google Meets call. And so I'm like,
yes,
it took me over half an hour to get you on a phone call just so I can see your face, so you can see I'm a human.
Yeah.
How did you get walked through this?
Yeah. Right.
Because like, if you've seen crypto, it's a little complex.
It's complicated. Like, it is.
It's very complicated, but these scammers mm-hmm. are so patient.
Yeah.
I cannot even explain the patience they have. In a way, I'm like, they have a patience of a god, but that's their job. Like, they're pretty much in the business to scam. And so I've seen a few different trends of what they'll do to take advantage of the elderly. So one, you know, like, I'm sure you've all seen it. You get that suspicious text message. Hey, Mario, it's me. Do you remember me? Do you want to grab lunch? Hey, we met on that dating website. Hey, I'm going to be in town. You know, like those weird messages that somebody might be like, oh, okay. Like,
maybe I forgot. Yeah.
You know, I just got a new phone, so on. Oh, you know, maybe this will be like that story of that one grandma who opened her home to somebody that was confused on Thanksgiving. And so they'll start that little messaging banter, like, oh, sorry, apologies. Or maybe, you know, they start somehow, like, they answer a phone call where the scammer is impersonating, you know, somebody like such as law enforcement, financial institution. And what they'll do from there is, you know, they'll gauge, okay, hey, this person is not literate when it comes to cryptocurrency. They don't really know anything. So they might start with a few different angles. One, they'll say, hey, your 401k, your financial blah, blah, blah portfolio has been compromised. We need to get you to a safe space. Mm-hmm. Or they can start with the narrative, hey, you know, it starts on like some dating app application where they're lonely, whatnot. And the scammer says, hey, I'm involved with my uncle's investment opportunity. Like, we have like these really great promotions coming up soon. Are you interested? So they start with some sort of like hook to bring them in. And then depending on the patients, you know, they either one might hop on like a WhatsApp call, or they might share a video link. They might share a link that gives them access to their device where they're able to screen share. And so that usually tends to be one of the main two things, is they try to find a way that that person, the individual, can give access, so then the scammer can walk them through. Or they might email them a link, because they'll be like, oh, here's my email. And then they have them click on the link, which downloads the software, the remote access software, where they might, you know, again, a lot of us use like password reuse. So like your password to your email might be the same password for your bank account. And then they walk the user through, hey, we need to make this safe. Like, so let's go do this. We're going to go open this account. And they walk them step by step, where the, you know, remote control might be showing the arrows. Oh, you see this little thing in this upper left corner? We're going to click those dots. Oh, you see bank accounts.
Oh,
okay, hey, we're going to go on this drop down and you're going to connect your bank account. You're going to get some emails right now. Don't worry. Again, this is all part of the process. You're just going to say yes, 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 yes. And so I've had some elderly users where in the past weeks or whatnot, they didn't really know anything about crypto. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a language barrier. You know, English isn't their native language, so they're concerned when it comes to immigration status, whatever the thing be. So that the moment, you know, your traditional financial institution calls you, they lie, because the scammers are telling them to lie. And so we have on one end where the traditional financial system has like these enhanced due diligence measures to protect them. Mm-hmm. But then depending on the user, they're so engaged into it, especially if it's a romance scam, unfortunately, they're willing to lie.
Boy.
And so, yeah.
I you just make my stomach hurts now. I can just seriously, though, I can imagine if I didn't have this job and read as much as I do and talk to people like you, Micah, I can see getting a phone call, someone saying your 401k has been compromised. We need to do something right now, or they're going to drain your savings. Mm-hmm. And that panic that you feel, right? And getting a call like that, and then trusting them. Boy, Mika, when you talked about how they are walking you through the process of your own demise, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of your emotions, the panic, you know, and because like they're heightening like these emotions and the panic, your normal alarms that are supposed to be preventative, they're out the window.
Yep.
You know, you're seeing things from such a narrow lens, because that's what they want you to see. That's what they want you to focus on. Your family members could be calling on you to check you in, that check in like, hey, if you had answered their phone call, maybe you would have been like, oh, wait, like I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
The sanity check.
Yeah.
But when you're in that moment where they're walking you through,
oh my gosh,
your paranoia, all those alarms, those protective barriers, they go.
Well,
and this doesn't just happen. Yeah. It doesn't happen just to elderly people.
Right.
It happens to young people too, that are in the system. They're like, I should have known better. You know?
If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, Micah Daia is our guest. She's the head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, which is a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm.
And that's what I wanted to talk about next, is that, you know, we have a person from the Better Business Bureau who comes here and talks about scams every quarter, just to be on the lookout. And one of the things we always discuss, that this is not an age specific thing. With young people, it might even be easier by just someone saying, hey, I'm going to use TeenSpeak. Hey, bro, do you want to get on this thing? And they just click, 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 and they're done. And that's it, because they see crypto, they see riches, they see the world around
easy
them.
Money.
And it's easier. And this is a point where parents have to be involved in what their kids are seeing on their screens, because it's a matter of going from, you know, I mean, who knows if that bank account on that tablet is hooked to the credit card of their parents and they say, oh yeah, of course we want crypto, and they hit it. I mean, how are kids being brought in and therefore should be protected from these types of scams as well?
I think one of the main things is social media. Mm-hmm. They hear about these opportunities from social media, whether they're following some influencer on X, on TikTok, they're following an influencer on YouTube. And, you know, a lot of people read into the comments. And so, especially now with technology, we see that like AI, artificial intelligence, like people are impersonating, you know, celebrities, these fake endorsements, whatnot. They're reading into the conversation threads like, oh, hey, like there's this upcoming like token drop. There's this upcoming, you know, they're giving free crypto tokens, like drop your wallet in the chat now if you want to seize advantage of this. And so they'll be like, oh yeah, I don't want to miss out on this. Like the FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And so they're clicking on things, they're connecting to things, and they don't realize like, okay, hey, maybe it's like an interesting URL. Like I'll just say tokenairdrop.top. And so they click on this thinking, okay, hey, like if I type in my crypto address, like I type in something, like I'll eventually get this free access. But what they don't realize is that this URL might be a malicious link where maybe they're spying into their device. Maybe they're what we call like a drainer where they just drain everything. And they're like, why isn't it loading? Like, why am I not getting my free tokens? Mm. And it's because they're using that excitement of, you know, the crypto space. I'm going to get rich quick. And they're not thinking these things clearly. Like, as you mentioned, Greg, like they also don't think about like, what are the repercussions of this? Like, let's just say I click on this link. What else is connected to the device I'm using to click on this link? Which is something we see about like the elderly folks, like, oh, my bank account, my credit card, $20,000 worth, easily gone.
Oh my God.
Micah, do you guys do any tracking of cryptos that have essentially exploded? I mean, the value was super, super high, and then all of a sudden it just went, it was gone. I know there have been a lot of users who have invested in certain cryptos and then have lost everything.
Yeah. So one of the things with cryptocurrency is that it's volatile. You know, and it's kind of like the stock market, like it goes up, it goes down, it's influenced by other factors. But another thing is what we call like these rug pulls, where there are these fake token projects that people want to get in on, but then the owners or the designers behind this project, it all had malicious intent to take people's money and run. And so we focus more so on the latter of like, what is illicit? Like what is maybe something that we can connect to a previous scam, you know, previous rug pull exit. And so that's one of the things we try to look for is like, how do we get on top of it, of connecting the dots?
We're going to continue our conversation with Micah Daia, is the head of civilian investigations and support at Zero Shadow. We're talking crypto and how to stay safe if you are in that sphere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Micah Daia. Daia. Jeez. I'm just going to call you Micah. We'll just make it easy.
Is
head of civilian investigations and support and a founding member of Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. Thank you so much for being here, Micah. It's been very interesting.
You know, in all this discussion we were just discussing with Micah about how crypto scams, they're just scams. I was trying to be a more whatever about it, but they're scams. How they target many people, what are the steps folks can take, older and younger, to keep away from this? I mean, not just like don't click on this, but when you get a phone call, that fear can be engaged. What can people do in the moment to prepare themselves where if they get that call, they can say, all right, they can hang up, do whatever. What do we do when we get that reach out from those people trying to take our money?
So some of the things I've told some people is, one, question everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, think about it, like when you were a little kid and you would want to ask your parents for some pocket change and they would ask you why, like, what is this for? And so, that's just one of the things I think of, yeah. Like, you know, when it comes to like our own family relationships, that we have struggles where if my brother were to ask me for $100, I'd be like, what do you need $100 for? But then oftentimes when it comes to the individuals with the scammers, they don't even blink an eye.
Yeah, we just accept it, right?
Right. You give them $10,000, $100,000. And so I say with step one, a lot of these often call, especially when it comes to the elderly folks, is you get a weird number. You know, it might be sometimes that they do the same area code where you live, or maybe it's one of those numbers that starts with an 8. And so you're like, okay, maybe this is like associated with a bank, like 888, 818, 808. My thing is, if you don't know that phone number, it is not saved in your phone, reject it. If it is important, they will leave a voicemail.
Yep.
And oftentimes they don't leave voicemails, you know, it's just, that's it. And then if you're curious, maybe like, let's say the next day, you can try and call that phone number and you're going to, most likely what's going to happen is it's disconnected.
After one day.
Within one day. And that is because either one, those phone numbers they're using are one-time use where they do, you know, they're not even in the US. Oftentimes they're in India, somewhere in Asia, or maybe they're just like some really poop head of like high schoolers, young adults in the US that just, you know, they have nothing better to do. So they're like, hey, let's see who we can scam.
Sure.
Like, take advantage of these people. And so again, don't answer a phone call that you do not know.
PJ in the live stream says the same thing. Don't answer phone numbers that you don't recognize. The same goes for emails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then let's say they do leave a voicemail. Well, I guess the next thing would be is try and see if you can Google or research that phone number, right? If they say, hey, we're with your bank, you know, hey, we're with this X financial institution, you know, your portfolio, whatnot. I would look at the back of your debit card, the back of your credit card, or maybe go in person to that institution and confirm, right? Because a lot of people are impersonating. They're saying, hey, I'm with so-and-so. Hey, I'm with law enforcement. But, you know, if you have those resources, go in person, confirm yourself. And they'll be like, hey, no, can you show us that email? Like, can you walk us through? Like, let's look at that phone number. Because oftentimes, if it is connected to an institution and say you didn't answer, in their system, they're going to have some sort of, you know, recording of it if it was them. They'll have a ticket number, they'll have an open case, so on. And so that's the other thing I would recommend is look into it. You know, especially with emails, like those emails you don't recognize or those emails that look legitimate. Another thing might be is like clicking the email header is often what happens. I'm sure many of you are familiar with is they'll pretend to be like, hey, I'm with Chase Bank or something. But the moment you click that email, you'll see the actual real identity behind it is, I don't know, rocketlaunch@gmail.com. It has nothing to do with Chase Bank. And so I think that's the only thing is just try to be a little more meticulous, a little more, you know, eye-opening. And then the most important thing that I've told a lot of people, when you wake up, try not to touch your phone for the first hour, because a lot of times, I am guilty of this too. Try not to touch your phone for the first hour, because a lot of times we don't, you know, we're
not awake.
We're not aware. And so you're accidentally clicking on things that had you, you know, brushed your teeth, taken a shower, walk the dog, who knows, you'd have been like, oh my gosh, like that was a total scam. Like, come on now. Like,
Greg knows this from firsthand.
Okay. in the holiday, I think it was last year, in the holiday, I got a text from USPS saying, hey, we just need to confirm some information for your
delivery.
I'm like, oh, I'm getting a lot of stuff delivered. So I clicked on it. I confirmed it. And I gave him my number. And about 10 minutes later, my not sleepy morning brain kicked in. And I went, what did I just do? And I looked and I saw where the link came from. And I should have gotten 3 tickets driving to the bank, because I sped to the bank to cancel that card. And that's my point over all these discussions, that you may think you're tech savvy, you may think you question everything, but there are moments where you just aren't thinking and you do something and you're in this situation. So yeah, I think, Micah, that is a great, don't trust anything you get. Always ask questions.
Yeah, Yeah. And it's like, especially it's like, you know, just take time to pause before you do something. So whether you're waking up, you're running around doing groceries, or you're at a party. I've had users where they were in control of, let's say, like, actually this was a user, $20 million. They were at a party in Florida, accepted an airdrop link, and then boom, you know? Oh my God. It's like, if you can just take the time to pause, and you can always come back to it later.
Wow. Micah Dahiya is with Zero Shadow, a leading crypto and Web3 incident response firm. It's been so interesting. Micah, thank you so very much for your time.
Of course. Thank you.
Have a great day. News is coming up next, and then a little audio sorbet on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
I'm going to give thanks for that.
As well you should.
Yeah. That was my very... And thank you very much.
And thank you very much. Giving Tuesday, of course, an opportunity to donate to our favorite local charities.
Yes.
Civic Media and all of our stations around the state have picked a couple that we would encourage you to donate to. If you don't have one particular charity in mind already, a lot of folks already have their favorites. But if you would like to make a donation for Giving Tuesday, we would encourage you to go to the Wisconsin Humane Society, wihumane.org, and also Milwaukee Community Crossroads, which cultivates a vibrant Milwaukee by helping individuals, families, and neighborhoods access basic needs.
And looking at, if you go to civicmedia.us, you know, the website, civicmedia.us/give, each station has their own. And I'm looking at ours. It is the Street Angels Milwaukee Outreach.
Lovely.
Looks to eliminate homelessness through access to basic necessities and resources to break the cycle. So go to the website, check them out, and give if you can. Give what you can.
Every little bit helps. It really does.
And if you can't give, we understand that. Just spread the word then, because these organizations, in trying times, in normal times, it's tough for these organizations to be around. In trying times like this, it's going to be even more difficult. So even if it's just like, I just got $5, that $5 will be used.
Absolutely. It all adds up. It really does.
Yes.
And the other thing you can do too, especially when it comes to like the Humane Society and MATIC, Milwaukee Area Animal Domestic Control, they have to take every animal. They can't turn any animals away.
Yeah.
So... they are always struggling. A lot of these places have wish lists on their websites of items you might have that you can donate. So that's something to check out as well. Doesn't always have to be money.
Mm-mm.
And you can always volunteer.
Yes.
Because all of these organizations are always looking for more bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is the portion of the program we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and talk about other things so we don't all crack up. And we're going to do kind of an Audio Sorbet grab bag today.
Oh, boy.
Holiday weekend related.
Oh, boy.
Just because a couple things we didn't get around to. We did have a show on Thursday.
We did. And again, thank you everyone who called in, who texted in, who were a part of that, who sent us their recipes, Dietrich and Meg. Dietrich and Meg and Shasta.
Yes.
Shasta, oh my good gravy. We're coming to Eau Claire next year.
For Thanksgiving.
I'll chip in for the food. I can't pay for all of it. I'm not made of money. But man, a Thanksgiving feast with those three, good gravy.
And the sous vide. The sous vide preparation.
Yes.
We got another email about that too. On Jane Says. So some interesting things we're going to research there. But yes, how was your Thanksgiving weekend? How did you manage with the snow? Did you end up changing your plans? If you got snowed in on Saturday, what did you do with your day? You were supposed to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
And you were the bringer of the turkey.
Yeah, it was an interesting. So I'm always a little stressed out in the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those are the only holidays my family really do anymore. And it's just I want to make sure everything's perfect, and I want to make sure everyone's having a good time, and I want to make sure that there's nobody going, oh, well, and then dot, 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 a passive aggressive complaint of how we are not good at what we do. Point is, it's been the same for the past few years. My mother-in-law is so gracious and allows us to use her house as kind of our, and it's
the gathering spot
for my family. Not even this is not an in-laws. This is my family. So my mom, her companion, my sister, her husband, the niece and nephew, me and my wife, and then my mother-in-law. We all gather at Thanksgiving at her house because, again, I am lucky, blessed, whatever you want to say, to have a mother and a mother-in-law who are deathly close friends.
That's fabulous.
So close. They love each other so
wonderful.
Much. But we all gather there, and there was a crybaby moment from yours truly over some poorly constructed chairs that needed to be put together, but that got solved and I got over myself. And we bought again this year a turkey from a local farm, Two Creeks Farm in Union Grove. If you can't get to Union Grove, buy yourself a local turkey if that's your thing. Or if it's a chicken or a ham, go local. There's many reasons. One, you are supporting local businesses. You are supporting our farmers. And also, I'm sorry, it's just better. And this year, Jane, oh my God.
Was it the best turkey on the entire history of turkeys?
There was almost a big problem because the turkey got done quick.
Well, let's go back now because you were supposed to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
And you were the bringer of the turkey and you did not go to Indiana.
Well, the Indiana trip happens on that Friday. So we always do Thursday at my mother-in-law's house. And then Friday we pack up the car. We go to Indiana, South Bend, where Bridget's family is a lot from the Indiana area. And just kind of spend like 2-3 days there catching up with folks and friends, people who are flying in from all over the world to spend time with family. And Thanksgiving's over. I'll get back to the turkey in a moment. But Thanksgiving's over. It's the next day. We know a storm's coming here in Wisconsin. And then all of a sudden, Bridget's cousin, who is in Ireland, says, oh, there's a huge storm warning in Indiana. And it's like, oh, well, so what? I want to go. I don't want to be here. I want to go. I want to get out of town. I don't take vacation much. And
no, you don't.
And it's also, I like hanging out with her family. So long story short, too late. We just decide not to go because the storm that's coming to Indiana is pretty much going to be the same storm we're getting here in Wisconsin. And we decide to cut bait, stay home. We had the dog in daycare for boarding for 2 nights.
Oh, wow.
So we pulled her out as well. And we just went home. And man, we were so angry on Saturday morning around like 11 o'clock because there was barely any snow at that point.
Yeah.
And we were very much of the like,
we could have made it.
Yeah. And then we found, well, one, it happened. Then, I mean, yesterday, with like, there was, I think in Kenosha, we got between 9 to 11 inches. And also in Indiana, they got walloped in those counties. And there was a huge, huge accident on 94 going southbound to Indiana. So overall, it was just like 2.5 days cuddling up in the house, cozy and nice.
Let's get back to the turkey.
Well, you started me up on Indiana.
Well, but you were the bringer of the turkey and you didn't go to Indiana. So you and Bridget ended up with this turkey.
But the turkey was made for Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Oh, I thought you were taking it with you to Indiana.
No, not at any point did I make that clear or apparent or anything. No, we bought the turkey for Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Oh, I was confused. So it wasn't just you and Bridget eating turkey for 4 days.
No. We had turkey on Thanksgiving night and then we had leftovers.
Okay.
And this turkey was so well prepared by my wife. It was brined. It was just given all the love and support.
Brined and basted and sung to.
Mm-hmm. And we almost got to the point where it was like it cooked. It was done before people showed up. Fresh turkeys, I guess, cook faster. And
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm sure the people on the live stream going, yeah, of course they do. But point is, we got the turkey done. We just told everyone, hey, we're going to be eating a lot sooner than we expected. And no one cared. They're fine with that. I mean, nowadays, Thanksgiving takes place at 1 p.m. sometimes. But it was the best turkey I've ever had in my life, Jane. I'm still thinking about it. It was the juiciest.
Really?
I mean, we've all had dry turkey, mm-hmm. and that's the big fear. No amount of gravy is going to save this rock of a bird. And I enjoyed not only just great turkey on the day, the leftovers were just as good.
And just as moist?
Yes! I'm fine with that word.
Boy, Bridget did something special to that bird then.
She's a little annoyed with me bringing up how good it was. And I'm just trying to heap praise upon her. I'm like, that turkey, I'm still thinking about it.
855-752-4842. It's an audio sorbet grab bag today. Mm-hmm. Just want to know how your holiday weekend went. What did you do when you were snowed in? On Saturday, I baked.
Yeah.
Roger from Stevens Point texting in. I just want to send out kudos to Cece Winans for her beautiful singing of the Star Spangled Banner before the Packers Lions game on Thursday.
The yes. Packers victory, that is.
Packers win.
I was very surprised by that one because the Lions
have, been hot.
So you said you baked on Thursday?
I baked on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yes.
So what did you do on Thursday? Like just hung out?
Well, Thursday, got home. Well, I had to go to the grocery store.
Because you needed two eggs.
Because I needed two eggs.
Because you didn't text me and say, Greg, can you bring me some eggs?
Went to the grocery store, went home. I made we're not big turkey eaters.
Yeah.
Turkey fans. Yeah. And it was just the two of us.
Yeah.
So I made a quiche. Mushroom, bacon, and Swiss.
Oh.
Was pretty tasty.
That sounds amazing.
And then Saturday, after I did hit the library in the morning, I love our local library.
Which library is yours?
Wauwatosa.
Nice.
Wauwatosa Public Library. It's fabulous. Hit the library, and then I thought, well, we're not going to be going anywhere today because mm-hmm. it's going to be snowing all day. So I made cookies.
Nice.
And bars.
Oh.
So I made some cocoa and pecan.
Cocoa and pecan.
Balls, I'll call them. And I added frosting, even though it didn't call for it because I didn't think they were sweet enough.
Yeah.
And then pecan cream cheese bars. Those turned out pretty.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Pecan cream cheese bars.
Oh, I love cream cheese
They're
frosting.
Pretty fabulous.
It's, cream cheese frosting should be illegal in some states because it's so tasty.
I think it should be on everything.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That sounds awesome. And that, yeah, we were happy at the end, you know, like on Sunday. We're like, you know what? We missed the family, but we also probably missed.
Well, it's just the hours. It's the hours of trying to fight your way home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was relieved that you guys didn't go because I was worried about you because I'm the extra mother you never asked for. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sure. Calvin, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you guys do anything crazy?
Yeah, no, it was a pretty basic and boring Thanksgiving. Not boring. It was good. Our turkey turned out a little dry, but I will take responsibility for that.
Did you cook the turkey?
I didn't cook the turkey. I helped season it, and I put it in the oven. Then my mom was in the hot tub with my sister. It's not as fancy as it sounds. But so I basted it around 3:45, and it probably needed to be pulled then, but it stayed in for another half hour, 45 minutes. It didn't ruin it. It was edible. It was just a little on the dry side.
Okay.
Did you only baste it once?
No, they were basting it earlier. I was doing it the final baste.
The final basting.
And it probably should have been pulled then. But then my mom made a turkey pot pie yesterday for dinner with the leftovers. And my mom, I will say, is a decent cook. She's not overly adventurous. But she knocked this one out of the park.
Is it
was
great?
Really good.
Yeah.
A pot pie done correctly is one of the most wonderful comfort foods.
I have not had a pot pie in since I was a little kid.
You might be overdue.
I might be overdue. Can I tell a really quick fun story?
Yes.
So we ordered a lot of our stuff from Festival Foods in Kenosha. We ordered the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, and the macaroni and cheese. We ordered it like a month ago on their pre-order thing. And we got there. I got there, and they were like, "We can't find your order." I'm like, "Okay." And they said, "It's no problem. We can get everything put together." They looked for a long time, and they said, "We're sorry, we don't have it. We can put it together. It's not a problem. We have everything here." I said, "Yeah, no problem." And at one point, the lady, as she's preparing, she goes, "Can I just say thank you for your patience and not yelling at me? A lot of people have yelled at me today." I'm like, "No problem.
Thank you for not yelling."
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's where we're at.
Thank you. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Look at that escargot edition. I know, it just makes me happy. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842 on the live stream. You can watch on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the network from 6 to 9. He will be here after the 9:30 news for Audio Sorbet tomorrow. We are going to be joined by Civic Media's, we call her the genie of just about everything. Mm-hmm. Terry Barr will be here for a little slice of Wisconsin. She does great, great stories. If you go to our website, civicmedia.us, and along with our fabulous news department, Terry Barr does a lot of articles and stuff that end up on our website that are really, really great. And speaking of, you can always subscribe to our newsletter.
Absolutely. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. It is a wonderful distillation of all the days, I would say the previous days and today.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain that because you're going to be getting clips from shows that are happening in the morning, stuff from happening yesterday afternoon, stories people are working on, podcast information, just sort of like everything happening in the Civic Media universe sent to you once a day in the afternoon in Civic Media Today. It's absolutely free. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and you can sign up right there. It's great. I mean, it's really growing. It's popular and people are really liking what they're getting.
Make sure also you have the Civic Media app, which is
absolutely free.
Because our Text to Win grown-up gift list contest is underway. Tom Hartman is going to have another keyword for you coming up after 11 o'clock. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, and then with John and Gordy later on today, mm-hmm. and Pete Schwabe later on as well. So we have two weeks for our Text to Win grown-up gift list contest.
2 weeks of something else, too. 2 weeks of something else.
Yes, it is mm-hmm. the final countdown here.
Final countdown. Final countdown.
Tomorrow, 9 days.
9 days.
9 days to go till I retire.
We're going
to
be hearing some fun stuff, having fun people on, so stick around and share your memories of Jane as we get closer and closer to December the 12th.
December the 12th. All right, Calvin, whoosh, it's 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from CNN. Catherine Nichols, the lucky one with the byline. The headline reads, more than $100,000 worth of escargot stolen from French snail farmer. More than $100,000 worth of escargot stolen from French snail farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the supplier scrambling to replenish the snails in time for the holiday season. This is not really the post we thought we would write. Approaching the holidays, L'Escargot de Grand Cruce wrote in a post on Facebook on Tuesday, we were victims of a burglary. Our stock of fresh and frozen snails were stolen. The family business breeds about 350,000 snails a year.
My goodness.
Preparing them with the greatest care. The snail theft is a shock, incomprehensible, and a real blow for all the team. The farm, based in Bouzet in northeastern France, said that thieves entered the farm undetected, broke into the buildings housing the snails. It's not like they had to chase them down. The fence surrounding the property had been cut. Once inside, the thieves found shelves, full of snails. In jars, fresh, frozen, some of the stock taken was not ready for consumption. The shells of the shells had not been cleaned. The butter had not been made. You cannot consume it directly. So if you're one of those guys who helped yourself, don't just be popping them in your mouth.
Well, we know who stole them if they do that. All of a sudden, people dropping dead from snails.
Maybe
they're part of it. Jane, give me a one-sentence overview of this story really quick. I just want to do something for you. Okay. What happened?
Escargot supplier has his snail stolen.
Sacre bleu! There we go.
Okay. You've been waiting for that.
I have been waiting for that.
Other snail farmers, fortunately, have stepped in to help sell some of their stock at reduced prices. I've never had escargot. That wouldn't be my go-to.
Your escargot go-to?
That wouldn't be it either.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll recover.
I've never had escargot, and I've had oysters once. Is there a difference between oysters and clams and mussels? Sorry.
Very slight. I think they're very slight differences.
All four,
they're all mollusks.
clams, oysters, mussels, snails has never been on my top list to like try. And people I know, people who love it, they're like, you got to try. I'm like, actually, I don't.
I don't.
I do not have to. Like, here's the thing. Here's me not trying it. The world's still going. And as I always say, more for you.
There you go. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.